there are some parallels between values in chapter John chapter 11 and the American, African American experience in these United States. We are a nation of 40 million American souls inside a nation of 320 million people. We don't all think the same. We don't all feel the same. We don't love the same. We don't learn the same. We don't live or earn the same. As a matter of fact, every racial and ethnic people in America, there is no monolithic way or no way to characterize the African-American people. We saw the tragic death of two young black men at the hands of the police in Dallas. We saw a mother riding in a car with her young daughter who had a broken taillight, but that stop alone should not have ended with a death sentence. When a person selling CDs in front of a local community store should not mean to be gunned down in the street. Must we come again in the words of our Negro national anthem over a way that with tears have watered? Is it possible that we must come again threading the path through the blood of the slaughter? Unfortunately, Beulah, we are not out of the gloomy past, and we are not yet to stand at last where the white gleam of our white star has cast. America cannot understand how dehumanizing it is as an African American to have our grievances ignored, our grievances dismissed, our grievances discounted by tactfully suggesting that we are overreacting. We are asked to move on and forget about the wounds of the past. Now, to ask American, African-American person to do that is like asking the Jews to forget about the Holocaust and move on. It's like asking the Native American Indian people to forget about the massacre of Wounded Knee and move on. That this find ways to demean, that they find ways to demean the phrase Black Lives Matter by saying all lives matter. But what the larger culture doesn't understand about the particular statement that we're not saying, they were not saying that all lives didn't matter. They were saying that black lives seem not to matter at all. You're not informing me when you say all lives matter. All of my bones in my body matter. But if I break one arm, that's the only bone that I'm going to be attending to. When our houses in your community matter, I say that all houses matter, but the firemen will only show up to the house that's on fire. I wish I had some help in here this morning. Yeah, all lives do matter, but that doesn't mean that black lives do not matter. Listen, you, the black lives, when seen from a distance, if looked at from a wrong end of the telescope, to avoid looking at us with an understanding story about us and are handed down through generations to prejudice, stories like black people are lazy and dumb and immoral and hustlers and welfare queen and crackheads. And all we do all day long is play dominoes, drink beer, and make babies out of it. And the truth is, most black people go to work every day. Most black people pay their bills. Most black people are college educated with many other advanced degrees. Talk back to me. Most black people have stable two parents home, go to church, mind their own business. And the apple denied and given to the Caucasian race simply because they were white. And when we demand as a citizen of the democracy that which was given to the other race by birthright, we are said to be too big for our britches. You are an uppity Negro. Simply because we don't bow down like Amos and Andy and Stephen Fletcher. Dr. Eric Dyson said it like this: your whiteness has become a burden too heavy for you to carry, so you outsourced it to a vile political figure who amplifies your most detestable private thoughts. The president of these United States, Donald Trump, is there to tell us under no circumstances that we want our country back. We want our country back. That would be acceptable language had it been coming from a Cherokee or Lakota tribe or Sioux or a Navajo Indian, because they are the only ones to whom this country belongs to. I don't wish to be misunderstood this morning. The loss of these police officers in Dallas, Texas is a tragedy. As a young officer here in Baton Rouge and in Minnesota, because death is dead. I do not believe the situation in us against them, because a black racist is just as vile as a white racist. It's not either us or the police. It's both us and the police. I want the police to protect me. I just don't want him to murder me. But when we militarize the police force and put the black man up as an enemy, he can only protect and serve me when his eyes, he can't protect and serve me when his eyes is on a minute on an enemy. I become the enemy for him. Now, we all must be consistent in our arguments. If not, it breaks down the logistics, okay? The young man who did the crime in Dallas is being labeled, watch this, a terrorist. And that's exactly what he is. But they didn't call Timothy McVeigh a terrorist when they bombed that building in Oklahoma, did they? They didn't call Dylann Roof a terrorist when he killed those black people in the church in Charleston, South Carolina. No. When black people kill, they are thugs. But when white people kill, they just sick. But all hope would be lost if that was not a word from the Lord. When we look at John chapter 11, it is one of the most hopeless cases in the Bible. And anybody who was looking at the death of Lazarus would conclude that he was dead and there was no hope. But yet, even in the face of absolute hopelessness, Jesus demonstrated his power to step into any situation and transform it into a season of blessings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Was the brother of Mary and Martha. And Jesus often stopped in their homes in Bethany and enjoyed and fellowship there. But now Lazarus is sick. And the text teaches us that there are in this situation some insurmountable problems. And like some insurmountable problems in the life of Lazarus, there are some problems in the lives of this young black male in this country. There's a problem of disease, weak. That's what the word disease means in the text. Totally lacking in strength. You cannot have joblessness in the community with failing schools, failing and deteriorating communities, and expect a black young man to see that there is some hope for him. You know, I think I need to say a word to those of you who have bought into the American dream and moved out in the You can't make a difference when you don't put no money in this community. Are y'all listening to me? I'm tired of rappers rapping. You buy the music and they live it somewhere else and not making a deposit in the community that they were living in and rapping in. Y'all might not like it. Young folk might not like it, but I don't care. But let me tell you something. I'm sick and tired when you go into the schools and you see, I'm going to rush it now. Schools, you got a group of young people. You know, some of them are standing in the corner. Some of them got their teeth, gold teeth, pants hanging down. And they got a little group of them. They call them thugs. Then you got the other ones over there sitting in the other corner over there. They got glasses thick as coke bottles. They call them nerds. And then you got the other sophisticated ones who don't want to mess with nobody because they not fit in their error. I call them uppity people. But then there's this little man who stands, he's tall and erect. He cannot go to class because he really can't learn nothing like he can because he can't read like other people. He's one of those guys that he stands alone. But when he gets in the classroom, he'll create problems so that he can get kicked out of the classroom, go to the principal's office, and the principal say, I'm going to suspend you for 3 days. And then when he's suspended for 3 days, he runs on to an 85-year-old grandmother, and he's out there in the world doing all kinds of things. He's meet up with some people who give him a rock to sell, and when he sells that rock, he becomes educated, he becomes gifted, he becomes appointed by himself, and then they give him some more rocks to sell. Then he thinks he becomes an entrepreneur because he's getting love from the people. But what we do, we sit here and criticize. Somebody go get Leroy and tell him, come on back here and teach him how God do love you, son. God loves you, and so do I. But we need to quit faking it and start making it. There are things in our lives, my brothers and sisters, that we have got to change. We have got to help our young people to be who they are. Because they will not do anything until we teach them. Can I get a witness in here? Yeah. You can't make a difference when you don't make a deposit. I wish I had some money. And not only that, you can't make an impact when you don't have influence. A lot of us will leave this place and go home to our houses and live the American dream that we have surrounded our mindset with. But once we let the air out of the room, that we have blown up and recognized that if the Lord doesn't help us, we won't be able to stand the storms of life. Now the problem is disease. The problem is delay. Watch this. Now Jesus heard from Mary and Martha that Lazarus was sick and he could have gotten there in time. As a matter of fact, Jesus could have healed him right where he was, only 5 miles away. Because Bethany was only 5 miles from where Lazarus was located, and all Jesus had to do was speak a word. But he delayed because he knew what was on the other side of the pain. Y'all didn't get that. He knew what was on the other side of the pain. Jesus knew what was on the other side of the pain. And the Lord delays. Because all of this crazy talk in our communities with parents by letting their children decide if they're going to go to church with no pain on the other side. Come on, talk back to me, Diane. You can't let your children make those kinds of decisions.